This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Is America's economy living on borrowed time? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The big meeting of the International Monetary Fund is happening now in Washington. Among other things, the IMF gets called into to the rescue when economies melt down or get into trouble with borrowing. And what is the IMF especially worried about now? America's borrowing binge. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the accounting and consulting firm Grant Thornton. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
So when the International Monetary Fund meets, they share data and actually a warning here. Apparently, some countries are borrowing a lot of money.
Basically, the world is in more debt than we've ever seen historically, not only just in actual dollar values, but as a share of GDP. And one of the countries that's driving it the most now on the margin is us here in the U.S. And this is something that usually you see during good economic times, things like deficits and the accumulation of debt slow because the economy picks up and tax revenues pick up and you don't have as much additional debt and deficits. We're doing just the opposite right now.
We're not alone. I mean, China has some of these issues as well, but the IMF is really placing the finger of blame right now, the warning, I should say, on the United States about this.
Exactly. Not only they singled out the United States for how unique our surge in deficits are at the moment, we now have another proposal to double down on tax cuts as if they'll pay for themselves, which history has taught us they just don't do. At some point in time, we have to pay it all back unless we hope someone like the Martians will come and bail out the United States and the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, who are we going to turn to if it really does unravel? I guess we can send out a distress call to Alpha Centauri. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Amazon and Best Buy are partnering to sell TVs. As part of the deal, Best Buy will sell Amazon-branded smart TVs in their stores and on Amazon.com as a kind of third-party merchant. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports on why these two rivals are coming together.
Alexa, why would Amazon do a deal with Best Buy?
Sorry, I don't know that.
Hat stumped her. From Best Buy's perspective, the deal makes a lot of sense. They get to sell pricey new must-have TVs, plus they get access to a whole universe of online shoppers. Laura Kennedy is with Kantar Consulting.
It's not quite if you can't beat them, join them, but it's an acknowledgement of the broad influence and power that Amazon has built.
What's in it for Amazon?
Boy, that's actually the tough question here.
James McQuivey is with Forrester Research. Yeah, it means Amazon increases its physical presence and lets people try out more of their devices. McQuivey says it's also strategic. Amazon's trying to tighten its grip on the smart home market.
If Amazon can preempt Apple or Google from trying to get their voice assistants into TVs that are flying off the shelves, then it's actually a pretty smart move.
Well played, Alexa. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Just as you count on Marketplace for reliable, in-depth news and information, we're counting on listeners like you to invest in what we do. The more people who support Marketplace, the more that we can do to raise economic intelligence across the country. You'll reap the rewards every time you listen, knowing that you're helping Marketplace make people smarter about the economy and why all this matters. And here's the thing, your donation now will be matched dollar for dollar when you give today, thanks to a generous challenge from our friends at Candida. Become a Marketplace investor at marketplace.org, and thanks for making a difference. Foreign fleets have been catching fish that's supposed to be off limits to them. It's poaching on the industrial scale, costing West African countries an estimated $1.3 billion a year. The trawlers are hauling away 2% of the gross domestic product of Senegal alone. Lucia Benavides reports.
The beach in Dakar is empty except for a group of singing fishermen pushing their colorful wooden boat back to shore. The windy weather has kept many on land today, including Mamadou Mbaye, head of Senegal's fishermen union. He says the sea is depleted of fish because of foreign trawlers. Mbaye says fishermen have to work 3 months in order to make just under $20 a day, half of which goes to expenses like gasoline. And there's no guarantee they'll catch something. The fish, he adds, started to go away about 10 years ago. The fishing industry in Senegal represents about one quarter of the country's jobs. Yet with fewer fish, some of those jobs are going away. It's one of the reasons many young men are migrating to Europe.
The ultimate goal is food security.
That's Hadisa Ned Jouf. She's the director of Comfish, a project funded by USAID that provides workshops and support for Senegal's fisheries.
Now, we don't have fresh fish, so that's the first goal, to allow the Senegalese to meet their fish needs.
Jouf says Senegalese people have fewer fish to eat, and the fish that's available is getting more expensive. And it's not only coastal communities that are hurt. Mamadou Diallo, also with Comfish, says inland communities, even outside Senegal, depend on fish as their primary source of animal protein.
People inland generally get processed fish because there's no way to keep the fish refrigerated through the route. Women do what they can to make sure the fish makes it to the interior because people need that nutrition.
There's an entire economic chain affected by decreased fish stocks, from the fishermen to the women selling fish at the markets to the trucks transporting fish inland. For now, their goal is to improve the quality of fish they do have available. In Senegal, I'm Lucia Benavides for Marketplace.
And you probably heard the lights went out across virtually all of Puerto Rico yesterday. My Marketplace colleague Lizzie O'Leary was there when that happened and was headed in to talk to Puerto Rico's governor. If you missed that conversation on the air, it's in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.